prayers. You know. That's one that, you know, you want to sing. God's going to put you through it, but it's worth it. Amen. He's forming you through it. Amen. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm excited about this new series. Servanthood. How about that? Yes. Servanthood. How many people are serving in the church right now? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to all start serving. Praise God.
Praise God.
And listen. I want to say this from the beginning. I'm not trying to guilt you guys in the next 4 weeks to trying to do more at church, okay? This isn't a series about trying to fill some empty spots on the schedule, even though we might have a few. But I'm telling you guys, this is about understanding that kingdom work requires willing hands, amen?
Amen.
The church needs laborers. Families need people who will show up.
Yeah.
Communities need believers who are willing to get involved. Amen?
Amen?
But let me tell you something. Servanthood is deeper than something that you do or what you do. Amen?
Amen.
Servanthood is who you are.
Yeah.
It's a heart posture. It says, Lord, I belong to you.
Yeah.
My time belongs to you, God. My gifts belong to you. My hands belong to you. My finances belong to you. My attitude belongs to you. Wherever you place me, Lord, whatever you ask of me, wherever you put me, I'm going to serve you there.
Amen.
See, that's what God's after. Amen.
Amen.
See, God's not looking for a talented people. He's looking for a trustworthy people. See, he's not looking just for gifted people. He's looking for a surrendered people. He's not looking for people who can just stand up here on the stage with a microphone. He's looking for people who carry towels when there's baptisms. Amen?
Amen.
See, there's something for every one of us that God wants to use in us. See, we pray prayers like, God, open the door. God, use me for your glory, Lord. And those are great prayers. Listen, those are wonderful prayers. We should want to be desired to be used by God. We should want to walk in the calling that he has for us. But there's part of those prayers that some of us don't enjoy too much. See, we want the assignment. But do we always want the preparation? See, we love the palace. But do we love Potiphar's house? See, we want God to trust us with more. Lord, I want more, Lord. But we don't always want to be faithful with what he has put in our hands. See, when you read the Bible, you begin to see a pattern in the Bible. See, God's not in a hurry like you're in a hurry. Imagine that. Let me say that one again. God's not in a hurry like you're in a hurry. Amen.
Amen.
See, God just doesn't want to get you somewhere. God wants to make you into someone. Amen. See, he's concerned about what you carry, but he's concerned also whether your character can carry it. See, he wants you to have kingdom influence, but he's concerned whether you'll be humble when people start listening.
Come on now.
Because gifting can get some attention. Let me tell you, your gift can get you some attention, but your character is the only thing that will sustain the trust. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
See, talent can open up doors. But integrity determines whether you can stay in the room.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
See, a gift may make people notice you. But servanthood, being a servant, the state of being a servant is what makes you useful in the hands of God.
That's it.
That's why Joseph's story is so powerful. See, most people know Joseph, right? They know him of the dream. They know about the coat. They know about the pit. They know about Potiphar's house and the brothers that betrayed him. They know about prayer. Palace. But when you really slow down and look at Joseph's story, you realize it's just not a story about a young man with a dream from God. It's a story about a servant being formed. Amen. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, God's forming you. Amen. He's forming you. See, Joseph received the dream early, but he didn't receive the palace early. Man, he received the dream, But it took them some time to get to the palace, amen? See, God showed them a glimpse of what was ahead. But God took Joseph through years of being shaped. Years of serving in places that he didn't choose. Years of being faithful when no one was celebrating him. Years of doing the right thing when it cost him. Trusting God's timing when he had every reason to be frustrated. See, before Joseph ever governed Egypt, he served in another man's house. And before he ever handled the food supply of a nation, he managed someone else's resources.
Right.
See, before Joseph ever stood beside Pharaoh, he served in prison.
That's right.
See, that's a word for somebody in this house today.
Yes.
Before you get to the palace, yes, you got to be a servant, amen?
Amen.
You want to get somewhere, start serving. You want to start growing? Start serving. If you think that the only thing you got to do is come in this house and warm that seat up for the kingdom, I'm telling you, you're missing it, and God's got something more for you. Amen. And if this offends you, that's not my fault. I'm just doing what the Lord said. God's got something for you. I'm telling you, he's put something inside you. He's developing something in you. He wants to use you for his kingdom. See, you might have been used by the world. And let me tell you something. Being used by the world ain't so great. I'll tell you, you might have been used by a man or used by a woman. You don't like being used by the world. But when you start getting used by the Lord, let me tell you, it does something to you. It just does something to you. It increases your spirit. It fills you up with joy. You start revealing a purpose that he placed in you. And I want to tell you that God made you into a purpose before he ever formed you into the womb. He knew you. Before he formed you in the womb, you was a purpose. Come on. This gets me excited. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. I love it. You know, man, praise the Lord. Woo. By the way, if you're a first time here, my name is Pastor Jeff. You'll get used to me. Well, I just love the Lord. Don't mistake it for anything but love. Amen. You know, I've been in a place like Joseph. I've been in a pit. And I feel, you know, this is the best my life's ever been. It's because I'm serving God.
Yes.
I ain't nobody special. Trust me, if you knew me, you would know I ain't nobody special. I just want to serve the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Every breath, every step, everything that I have, I want to give to him.
Amen.
That's how we grow.
Glory.
All right, listen, I'm not going to assume that everybody knows the story of Joseph, okay?
Teach.
So we're just going to do a little backstory. We're going to start in Genesis 39, but I want to catch everybody up on Joseph's story so we know, everybody knows where we're at. Joseph was the son of Jacob.
Okay.
He was loved deeply. And his father gave him a coat of many colors. Joseph's brothers were jealous of him.
Okay.
Especially after Joseph had a dream from the Lord about God raising him up one day. See, those dreams were from God, but Joseph didn't understand the process at that time that it was going to put him through. His brothers despised him.
Okay.
His brothers didn't like his favor.
Yeah.
You ever been through something like that?
Yeah.
You got a little favor from the Lord, everybody despises it.
Yes.
Listen, his brothers hated him so much they threw him into a pit and then sold him into slavery. Joseph was taken away from his home, he was taken away from his father, and everything that he knew that was familiar, and he was carried down into Egypt. He went from being a favored son in his father's house to being a slave in a foreign land. Understand it. Everything that he knew, he was living his life. Being a good son, honoring his father, amen? And his brothers took him, put him in a pit, and sold him into slavery. He didn't deserve that. Remember that. Genesis, that's where Genesis 39 begins. And see, Joseph, what I want you to understand, he's not in the palace. He's not standing before Pharaoh. He's not walking in any visible fulfillment of the dream that God had gave him. He's in Potiphar's house, serving as a slave. And what you're about to see is powerful. Even in a place that Joseph didn't choose, God was with him. Joseph remained faithful. He remained faithful because before God ever trusted Joseph with Egypt, he was watching Joseph serve. All right, let's get into Genesis. We're starting at 39. We're going to go 1-6, amen? It says, now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. And Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, and an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all he did prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. And then he made him an overseer of his house, and all that he had he put under his authority. So it was from that time that he had made him overseer of his house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in his house and in the field. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. Says the Lord was with Joseph and he was a successful man. Listen, that statement ought to challenge some of us. Joseph's a slave. He's away from his house. He's been betrayed by his brothers. And he's living in a foreign land. Has no control over his circumstances. Does that look like success in any worldly definition? No. But heaven looked at Joseph and said, the Lord is with him. And he is successful. Because success in the kingdom is not measured by where you are, but it's measured by who you are becoming, why you get there. That's why today's message is called Before the Palace. God forms the servant before he entrusts you with the assignment. Let me say that again. He's forming you as a servant before he's going to trust you with the assignment. And listen, God is not just preparing an assignment for you. He's preparing you for the assignment. My first point is a servant is faithful with what belongs to someone else. A servant is faithful with what belongs to someone else. Joseph didn't begin by building his own house. He began by serving in Potiphar's house. That matters. Why does that matter? Because Joseph didn't own the property. He didn't own the livestock. He didn't own the land. He didn't own the resources. But he had been trusted with what had been placed in his care. And he knew it mattered to God. See, that is the heart of a servant. A servant understands that, hey, this might not be mine, but if you're put into it, it could still be your responsibility. A servant doesn't walk past a need and say, hey, that's not my job. A servant says, if that matters to God, if it matters to the people, if it affects the mission, if it affects the testimony of Jesus, then I care about it. Stop waiting for everybody else to do it. Stop walking by the trash scene and overflowing, waiting for everybody else to take it out. You don't know how to take the trash out? This is God's house, amen? Stop. When you see a need, fill the need, amen? God made you able and willing. Praise God. Listen, I'm not trying to guilt you into taking the trash out. I don't want to see everybody go take the trash out after the sermon. I'm just saying this is an opportunity to step in and show God you're willing to serve, amen? See, Joseph could have spent every day in Potiphar's house angry. He had plenty of reason to say, hey, this ain't fair, because it wasn't fair. And humanly speaking, he should have never have been there. He should have been in his father's house. But Joseph, he made a decision. See, the same decision that each of us have to make. Amen. He was going to serve God wherever he was planted. See, that's maturity. See, maturity is not being faithful when life looks like what you expected it to look like. Maturity is remaining faithful when life doesn't look anything like what you expected it to. See, when Joseph was serving, he didn't know that Potiphar's house was going to be preparation for the palace. That's a bunch of peas. Pam? Yeah. Yeah. He didn't know that managing the household was training for managing an entire nation. Josh liked that. He didn't know that God was developing wisdom and discipline inside of that. Yeah. He's developing leadership and trustworthiness in him. All Joseph knew that God had placed him in Potiphar's house. And if God placed him there, Joseph decided he was going to serve there. Amen?
Amen.
Where is God placing you? Where have you been placed? Are you choosing to serve God? I tell you, you've been placed in this house. Amen?
Amen.
Hey, we're all sitting in the house of God today.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. In Luke 16:10, he says, who is faithful with least is faithful also in much. Amen. Did he say he who's gifted? Did he say he's who gifted?
Faithful.
Or did he say he who is talented?
Faithful.
No, yes, you're right. He was
faithful.
So faithfulness, I'm telling you, listen to me. Faithfulness is one of the greatest currencies in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
You want to get some currency from heaven? Start being faithful. Faithfulness is what makes you trustworthy. Faithfulness is why you keep showing up. Faithfulness is you keeping your word. It's you doing what needs to be done when nobody's clapping for you. When you ain't getting the applause, you ain't getting a thank you. Faithfulness is not glamorous. Faithful because God sees it. Let me tell you, God sees your faithfulness. People will overlook your faithfulness. Guess what? Your church might not even immediately notice your faithfulness. Your friends may not understand why you keep showing up, but let me tell you, God sees it. See, there's something holy. There's something wonderful about being faithful when nobody's watching. Come on, somebody. Let's go to Colossians 3, 23, 24. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. For you serve the Lord Christ. He's just assuming you know you're supposed to be serving. Amen? That means that you may work for a boss, but guess what? You serve Jesus.
Amen.
See, you may work in a ministry, but I'm telling you, you serve Jesus.
Yeah.
See, you may be raising children. You may be caring for a home or taking care of a neighbor or whatever responsibility or doing something else that nobody notices. But when you do it unto the Lord, I'm telling you, God sees it and you're serving Jesus. And when you do it when nobody's watching, heaven sees it a little different. Maybe what you do in private, you could be rewarded openly for. Amen?
Yes.
See, Joseph was in Potiphar's house, but Joseph was serving God there. And because Joseph served God, Potiphar's house was blessed.
Yes.
Come on.
Yeah.
It says that Potiphar saw that the Lord was with Joseph, and the Lord made all Joseph did prosper in his hand.
Yes.
Let me tell you something. There's homes that are blessed because somebody serves God.
Yes.
There are churches that are blessed because we serve God, amen?
Amen.
There are workplaces that are blessed because a servant of God walks in with integrity.
Amen.
There are families that survive because a servant chooses not to quit.
That's right. Amen.
Listen to me. Don't despise what God has put in your hand. Don't despise what He put in your hand. Don't despise what's right in front of you. Don't treat your current season like it's meaningless because it's not your final season.
No.
Don't keep saying, when I get somewhere else, then I'll be faithful.
No.
This is what the world wants to do to you. The world wants to get you worrying about the future or thinking about the past. Your mind will love to solve problems. That's what it does. If you just let it loose, it's just going to think of problems. Enjoy the journey. Enjoy where you're at. Enjoy what's right in front of you, because I'm telling you today that God is forming you with what He has right in front of you. Amen?
Amen.
Don't mistake it. Be faithful in the assignment that you have.
Amen.
Because the servant who is faithful with another person's house is being prepared for whatever God has next. God has something for you next, but He needs to form you in this season to get you there. And you're going to see that with the story of Joseph. Don't ask God to give you your own thing while you're still careless when He gave you someone else's thing. Don't ask God to give you a bigger platform while you're still neglecting the small place that He gave you. Listen, the kingdom doesn't work that way. The only way up is down. Do you understand that? The only way up to the kingdom is down. Amen?
Amen.
Do you guys understand that?
Yes.
Amen. The way up in the kingdom is down. It's by being humble. It's by being a servant. It's about being lowly. It's about remaining lowly. Selflessness. Servanthood. Jesus came. Did Jesus come to be served?
No.
He came to serve.
Yes.
Did he strip his divinity away from him and become a servant?
No.
He became a servant. Mm-hmm. He had all right to do whatever he wanted to do. And he chose to come down and be a servant.
Amen.
See, the way into more is being faithful what's in your hand.
Yes.
Listen, Joseph's faithfulness was not only tested by responsibility, it was then tested by temptation. Because it's one thing when we do the right thing when people are watching. But it's another thing to remain holy when nobody's watching. My second point is a servant guards his integrity. Amen. Let's go to Genesis 39, start at 7. We'll go to 12. And it came to pass that after these things, that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Look, my master does not know what is with me in this house, and he's committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I. Nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" So it was, as she spoke to Joseph day by day, that he did not heed her to lie with her or to be with her. But it happened about this time when Joseph went into the house to do his work and none of the men of the house was inside, that she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside.
Come on now.
They call it the Billy Graham rule, but I'm going to start calling it the Joseph rule. You know what I mean? Listen, Joseph was doing everything right. He's working with excellence. He's managing Potiphar's house. He's carrying the responsibility. The Lord is with him. Potiphar trusts him. The household is prospering because God is blessing it. Then Joseph faces a temptation that could have destroyed everything. Potiphar's wife is trying to seduce him. Let me tell you something, men. When God anoints you and has favor all over you, that's attractive to people. Potiphar's wife is trying to seduce him. And we often read past that story quickly because we know what happens. But think about Joseph's position. I'd like you guys to start putting yourself in the shoes of the characters every once in a while.
Yes, yes.
He's young. He's good looking. He's far from home. He's alone. He's in a foreign culture. He's a slave. He doesn't have the comfort of home. He doesn't have his family standing around him telling, "Joseph, remember who you are." And that's how temptation works. It tries to get you while you're isolated. When you feel like you got nobody around. It tries to get you when you're tired. You're lonely, you're angry, you're wounded, you're feeling unseen, maybe you're feeling used, maybe you feel like life is unfair. It tries to come when you're thinking that nobody understands what I'm going through. But Joseph said something that reveals the heart of a servant. He says, "How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" He doesn't say, "What if I get caught?" He doesn't try to reason, "What if we get caught? We can't do that. And we've got to know when Potiphar's coming back." He doesn't say, "Well, what will happen if they come in and they see us?" He says, "How can I sin against God?" See, that's integrity.
Yeah.
Integrity is doing what is right when nobody's looking,
Amen.
When nobody has the power to stop you.
Amen.
Integrity is protecting your reputation without destroying your character.
Yeah.
See, integrity is not telling on yourself before you get caught. It's
Amen.
Not doing it in the first place. Amen.
Amen.
That's protecting your character. You got to protect what's inside of you because you know what's inside of you. You know what's inside of you. You might be able to fool everybody else, but let me tell you something. You ain't fooling God, right? I always say that to my people. Guess what? You can fool everybody, but you ain't fooling God. See, integrity is understanding that your life belongs to God. Even in the places that no one sees. A servant doesn't say, "I can get away with this." He says, "I belong to God." See, pain loves to tempt people to justify sin. See, when people hurt you, you love to say, man, I'm hurt, I'm lonely, I'm angry, I'm tired. I can hurt somebody. It loves to justify it. But Joseph teaches us that what happens to you does not determine who you become. Mm-hmm. See, you're not called to obey your pain. You're not called to surrender to the appetite. You're called to surrender to the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. See, listen, and Joseph does something that many people don't want to do. He runs. Just run sometimes. He doesn't negotiate. He doesn't play around with temptation. He doesn't say, let me see how close I can get to this without crossing the line. See, there's moments when the most spiritual thing that you can do is leave. See, some of you need to hear that. You don't have to stay in every conversation. You gotta run. You don't have to entertain. You don't have to respond to every temptation. See, Joseph didn't stand there and try to prove his strength. He ran because he understood the stakes. See, there are things in your life that you don't need to manage. You need to remove it. Amen. There's relationships in your life that need boundaries. There's conversations that just need to stop. You need to stop talking like that. The words need to stop coming out your mouth. There's people you need to distance from because they keep pulling you towards the thing that God delivered you from. 2 Timothy says, flee also youthful lust. Flee, don't justify them. Flee them. Flee them. A servant has to understand that private compromise will eventually destroy your public usefulness. Let me tell you, private compromise will destroy you in public one day. Let me tell you, God will expose it. He brings everything to the light. Amen? And that's in the Word of God. You can't build a life for God while secretly... Am I just got louder? Yeah, I feel like I just got louder. Mr. Tim, can you turn me down a little bit? Amen. Whoa. Better? Oh. Amen. Praise God. I hadn't went in my hands in a long time. Let's do this. Amen. That's what the devil does. See, the devil knew the word was getting out. He's like, don't flee. Don't flee. Just stand here and wait for the pastor to talk. Listen, you can't ask God to use your hands while refusing to surrender your heart. Amen. You can't ask for an anointing while excusing what is unholy in your life. See, the church doesn't need more people that know how to perform. I don't need more people. God does not need people in this church that are great at performing. The church needs people who can walk with integrity. Amen. People who will be the same person at home as they are at church. Listen, if before you walk in the church, you got to put the church mask on, you're missing it. If you like to come in here and act like everything's great and walk out that door and everything's terrible, you're missing it. This place is a hospital, which means what, Nate? A lot of sick people in this place. It's okay. Come here with your burdens, amen? Guess what? This is a place not only to repent, but guess what we know how to do here? Receive repentance, amen? Listen, you got to be the same person you are in private as you are in public. Listen, servanthood doesn't mean that you stay in abusive situations. Joseph ran from Potiphar's wife. Would you consider what he was going through abuse? I would. Yeah, it's, you know, you see that if a man would do that to a woman, it's clearly harassment. It was harassment. She was sexually harassing Joseph. Remember David? David fled from Saul when he tried to kill him. There's a difference between serving faithfully and remaining in a place where someone is actively trying to harm or abuse you. I want you to remember that. God doesn't tell you to cooperate with abuse, but he does call you to remain clean in your heart. He calls you to refuse revenge, reject compromise, and he calls you to guard your integrity. See, Joseph lost his coat, but let me tell you something. He kept his character. See, his character was never in the coat. They took the coat, but he never lost his character. See,
Sometimes obedience is going to cost you something in the moment. But let me tell you something. Disobedience will always cost you more in the end. See, and here's what's difficult. Joseph did the right thing. He ran. He resisted temptation. He stayed faithful. And then he got falsely accused. And that brings us to one of the hardest tests of servanthood. What do you do when you're doing everything right? You're doing your best, but life is still unfair. My third point is a servant keeps serving in unfair seasons. See, what seems unfair to you is only your perspective, because you can only see what's right in front of you. But if you had the vision of God, if you had God's perspective, he sees the end from the beginning from the end. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the author and the finisher. So what you think might be unfair could be the very thing that God is forming you with. See, Joseph refused to sin, and Potiphar's wife lied about him. Come on. And Joseph ended up in prison. Imagine how that felt. Anybody been to prison? Anybody been locked up? Anybody been in there and falsely accused? Come on. He'd already been betrayed by his brothers. Remember that? Being beat up and thrown in a pit and sold into slavery. He'd already lost his home and his freedom. And then he does the right thing. Still serving God. Still doing the right thing. Still telling Potiphar's wife, hey, nah, I ain't doing it. And then he gets punished for it. See, there's people in this room that understand that pain. You did the right thing. You told the truth. You tried to honor God the best you knew how. And still, you were wounded. Still misunderstood. Still hurt. Still lied about. Still someone took advantage of you. And somehow, you ended up carrying consequences you didn't even create. See, that kind of pain can harden a person. It can make you cynical. It can make you suspicious. It can make you bitter. It can harden you so much that you don't even want to allow people to come in anymore. It can hurt you so much that you start hurting people in advance so they can't hurt you. Anybody know what I'm talking about? See, Genesis 39, 21 says, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy. Notice what the Bible repeats. It says the Lord was with Joseph in Potiphar's house. It's incredible. See, the location changed. The people changed. The circumstances changed. The level of freedom changed. But let me tell you something that didn't change. God did not change. The presence of God did not change. See, Joseph was abandoned in prison, but God was with him. Let me tell you something. In your season that you feel abandoned, in your season that you feel lost, in your season that you feel unseen, I'm telling you, I promise you, God is with you. God was with him there. Somebody needs to hear that today, that this hard place does not mean that God left you. This difficult season does not mean that God left you. The betrayal does not mean that God does not see you. See, God may not have caused what happened to you, but he's still able to meet you in it. See, God didn't approve of Joseph's brother selling him. He didn't approve of slavery. He didn't approve of Potiphar's wife lying. But to tell you what, God was not defeated by any of that. You know, later Joseph's brothers would tell him, you know, and what Joseph would tell his brothers, what you meant for evil against me, God meant it for good. See, that does not mean that evil becomes good. It means that God is sovereign, that he can use what even people meant for evil. He can still weave it for his purpose. See, the enemy thought he was burying Joseph. But God was positioning Joseph. The enemy thought prison was the end of Joseph's stories, but God knew that prison would become the part of Joseph's preparation. Come on. Joseph didn't know what was coming. But you know what he knew how to do? Serve. He knew how to serve. See, Genesis 39 says the keeper of the prison put everything under Joseph's authority. Joseph didn't become lazy once he got into prison, amen? Joseph didn't become bitter. He didn't say, I don't deserve to be here. I didn't even touch her. I didn't even do nothing. That's, you know, hey, I could see myself being in prison every time the prison guard walked by. I didn't even do it. I promise I didn't do it. Coming back, I tell you, I didn't do it. I mean, someone, I didn't do it. You know what he did? He kept serving. He kept carrying responsibility. He kept being faithful. See, a servant doesn't allow a bad season to become a bad spirit. A servant doesn't allow unfair treatment to become an excuse to mistreat others. A servant doesn't say, because I'm hurting, I got permission to hurt people. Let me tell you, 99.999% of the time, hurt people hurt people. Listen, a servant takes pain to God and says, Lord, I don't understand this, but I know you're not going to abandon me in this season. 1 Peter 2:23, it says, this is about Jesus. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. He entrusted himself to the Father. That doesn't mean that we have to pretend what happened didn't happen. It doesn't mean that we excuse abuse. It doesn't mean that we stay silent when wisdom requires safety. But it does mean we refuse to let pain take ownership in our heart. See, we live in a day where anger and violence and bitterness and revenge all feel justified too much. People want to feel justified. But Jesus never gave us permission to let hurt turn us into the very thing that he delivered us from. This is my personal opinion. That pastor Spell that went across the street and got in that fight. And I hear it, and he has a congregation of people standing behind him, and he beat this person up. You can't fight hate with hate. So what if they're saying things about your family? Guess what? They need Jesus. Of course they're going to say things. We cannot be judging the world like we judge the household of faith. Don't you know these people don't know who Jesus is? They're with excuse. You who know who Jesus Christ is, you who have received the Holy Spirit, is without excuse. So why are we taking the people who don't even know who Jesus is and we're going to go beat them up because they threatened us? Jesus didn't do that. And I think we're all called to be a reflection of Christ. Amen. So next time somebody starts threatening you, next time somebody starts despising you, guess what? Count it all joy when you're persecuted for his name's sake. Let me tell you something. There's people out there that don't like me because I serve Jesus. That ain't my fault. Guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to keep serving. The cross shows us a better way. You didn't fight evil by becoming evil. You overcome evil by remaining surrendered to the Father. There's some people who have been through some real things in this house right now. But let me tell you, Joseph never let prison become his identity. He was in prison, but prison never got inside of him. Amen. And I feel that for someone in this room today, that you're in a hard season. But you cannot let the hard season get inside your spirit. Don't let the hurt that you're going through become your identity. Don't let what happened to you keep you from what God still wants to do through you. You may be in a prison season, but I'm telling you, you're called. You're loved. You're seen. You're useful. And you're still under the hand of God. And you can still serve him right where you are. Listen, Joseph served faithfully in Potiphar's house. Then he served faithfully in prison. But then the story gets even more challenging. Yeah, you thought your life was bad. Let's just look at Joseph. Because Joseph starts serving, when he's doing it, he's serving people who have absolutely nothing to give him in return. My fourth point is, a servant serves without needing to be remembered. Amen. Let's go to Genesis 40. We'll start at 5. Then the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in the prison, had a dream. Both of them, each man's dream in one night, and each man's dream with its own interpretation. And Joseph came into them in the morning and looked at them and saw that they were sad. So he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with them in custody of his lord's house, saying, "Why do you look so sad today?" And they said to him, "We each have had a dream, and there's no interpreter of it." So Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell them to me, please." Then the chief butler told him his dream to Joseph and said to him, "Behold, in my dream, a vine was before me, and in the vine were three branches, and it was though it budded and it blossoms shot forth, and it clusters brought forth ripe grapes. And the Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and it took the grapes and pressed them into the Pharaoh's cup and placed the cup into Pharaoh's hand." Let me stop there. Listen, Pharaoh's cupbearer and baker were put in prison with Joseph. Amen. And both men, they have troubling dreams. And what does Joseph do? He notices that they're sad. Think about that. Just think about these little things. If you know every sentence is on purpose. Joseph had every reason to be sad himself. He'd just been betrayed. He'd been enslaved, falsely accused, and been forgotten, and he's in prison. But Joseph is still seeing somebody else's pain. That's the heart of a servant. See, a servant doesn't become consumed with their own suffering to the point that they can't see anybody else's suffering. Joseph looked at the cupbearer and the baker and asked him, "Why are you sad?" He wasn't concerned about himself. And then he hears their dreams. And Joseph tells him something powerful. Don't interpretations belong to God? And Joseph gives God the credit. Even in prison. No audience. No applause. When life has been unfair. Joseph said, "God is the one who can do this." Joseph serves those men. He's still serving. He helps them. He speaks truth to them. He gives them what God gives them. Let me tell you something. You can only give away what God has given you. Stop trying to give away things you don't have because you're not doing it. It's not successful because you haven't put it inside of you. If you want to be successful, give away what God has given you. Joseph, once he interprets a dream, he asks the cupbearer one thing. He says, "Remember me when it's well with you." Listen, man, just remember me when it's well with you. Sounds like an easy task. And that's not wrong. See, Joseph wasn't being manipulative. He's not being demanding. He's simply saying, when you're restored, hey, just remember me, man. I'm in prison. And the cupbearer was restored exactly like Joseph said. And if we go to Genesis, I'm kind of skipping around. We go to Genesis 4, or 40 and 20 to 23. It says, "Now it came to pass on the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast for all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and the chief baker amongst his servants. Then he restored the chief butler to his butlership again, and he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker as Joseph interpreted to them. Yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph and forgot him." So each dream, he said, "Hey, look, you're going to be restored. Hey, sorry." You know, and see, that right there is kind of painful. Joseph served them. He helped them. He gave them hope. He told them the truth. And he asked for one small thing in return. Just remember me. But the cupbearer forgot him. Have you ever helped somebody and felt forgotten? Come on. Have you ever helped somebody and they disappeared right when you need them? Some of y'all know they're around when you get paid, then all of a sudden, you don't got no money, I'm gone. You ever poured into someone and you felt like they didn't even acknowledge what you did? See, that's when servanthood gets real. One thing I had to learn as a pastor, to be okay with being used a little bit. Do you see what I'm saying? Sometimes you'll pour into people, pour and pour and pour, give them everything you got, and then guess what? We're all one bad decision away from wrecking our lives, amen? And guess what? That's their choice. Yeah, they gone. But my obedience isn't going to change my character because I'm going to continue no matter what. I'm going to serve you because that's what God put in front of me, amen? I'm not serving you for your outcome. I'm supposed to help you along the way. Because if you only serve people who can help you, then you're not serving. Let me tell you what you're doing. That's called networking. And if you only help people who can advance you or promote you or connect you or benefit you or open a door for you, your heart's not in service. That's called self-promotion. But a servant serves because Christ first served them. See, a servant gives because God gave to them. Loved because God first loved you while you were still even yet a sinner. My goodness. That's something to get excited about. See, a servant doesn't need applause to keep doing what's right. A servant doesn't need a thank you card to remain faithful. A servant doesn't need their name called out in front of everybody to keep serving. Listen, I'm not saying that honor is unimportant. Honor is so important. The Bible tells us to give honor where honor is due. We should appreciate people. We should thank people. We should recognize faithfulness. Listen, I have a gift of encouragement. Anybody knows me. I probably called you once or twice and said, thank you. I really mean that. I'm grateful for your service. I'm grateful for your familyship and your friendship and our brotherhood. I'm grateful for it. That's a beautiful thing. But your willingness to serve cannot be built on whether people remember to say thank you or not. Because people will forget. I will forget. People will fail you. Let me tell you something. If you didn't know, I will fail you one day. I'm not going to try to fail you, but I will. People won't always understand the sacrifice that you made. But God does not forget it. Hebrews 6:10 says that God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love. God remembers. He remembers the prayer that you prayed. He remembers the person you forgave, the time you showed up when it would have just been easier to stay at home. He remembers the offering you gave and the burden that you carried. See, the cupbearer forgot Joseph, but let me tell you, God did not forget Joseph. And then 2 years later, when Pharaoh had a dream that nobody could interpret, the cupbearer suddenly remembers Joseph. Why? Why is that? Because God's timing had finally arrived. Listen, the cupbearer didn't remember Joseph when Joseph wanted him to be remembered. But God was already on the move, getting Joseph prepared. And see, that's a word for someone. Don't confuse your delay with denial from God. Don't confuse being forgotten by people by being forgotten by God. See, there are moments when God will allow people to forget you because he doesn't want your future to rest in people's hands. He wants you to know when the door opens, it was him. See, it was him. It's not people that's promoting you. It's not people that are opening up the door. He doesn't want you being dependent on people. God's going to open up the door. See, when the opportunity comes, you're going to know that it's him. When the timing shifts, you're going to know that it's him. When the palace door opens up, it's not because you manipulated your way there. You're a smooth talker. You got a silver tongue. It's nothing to do with that. It's because God opened up the door. Amen. Listen, Galatians 6:9 says, let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season, we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Listen. That verse doesn't say you'll reap immediately. It says in due season. It doesn't say when you want it. Oh, that's a hard one. I deserve it, Lord. I did it, God. Make it happen now. In due season, God, in God's time, God's moment. See, there's a moment when what we've been doing in secret will become visible. So you can't quit before the season of harvest. Let me tell you about some of your guys' seasons right now. You're planting good seed. You're doing everything right, but you're still reaping a bad harvest. Why? Why, God? Why, Lord? I'm doing everything right. It's been 3 weeks, Lord, and I've been doing everything you told me to do, Lord. I've been doing everything right. I've been praying for 3 weeks. I've been listening, Lord. I've been obeying the traffic law. I've been stopping at stop signs, God, when nobody's looking. But you still... we're planting bad seeds in that other season. Don't you know God's not going to be mocked? Whatever a man sows, he shall reap. So if you are coming out of seasons and you know what you've done, let me tell you, you know what you've done. Stop looking at what everybody else has done. Maybe start taking a look in the mirror and know what you've done. And you might have enough to worry about that you don't even got time to worry about what everybody else is doing. But you start understanding that you got to go through seasons. Look at your neighbor and say, it's just a season. There's a season for everything. Am I right? Am I wrong? And guess what? Sometimes you got to go through a bad harvest because you planted some bad seed. Amen. But if you continue to be faithful and you don't grow weary in doing good, and I promise you in due season, you'll start seeing a good harvest. And a good harvest. And if you keep planting good seed, guess what you get to reap? A good harvest. Amen. That's the beauty of it. It's a spiritual law. Guess what? It doesn't require your belief. It doesn't require anything. That's a spiritual law. That's why you see bad people, you know, they're able to work with these laws too. It's a law. It doesn't matter. You don't got to believe in gravity. Just jump off a bridge and see what happens. This is a spiritual law. See, and I don't want you to give up 5 minutes before the miracle. Don't give up 5 minutes before your miracle happens. Sometimes it gets worse before it gets better. It's okay. Don't get weary. Don't lose heart. Don't stop serving because one person forgot to say thank you. Yeah, Pastor, I'm telling you, I was working on the greeting team, and I said hi to somebody. They didn't even say hi. I'm done. Oh, Lord. I tell you, I was working on the giving team, and you know what? Pastor just walked right by me. He didn't even say nothing. He didn't tell me thank you. I served, and he didn't say thank you. Serve for God. Do it for the Lord. Amen. Be a conduit. Amen. That's what I love about our worship team. Our worship team doesn't even want me to talk about this. Do you understand what I'm saying? They don't even want me to say this. But I love that they don't want no applause. They don't need no applause. They don't need nothing. They don't need nobody to tell them great job. They don't need me to come up and tell them how good they did. They don't even want it because they want to serve the Lord. Amen. And see, when that becomes more important than people's applause, you know you got a servant's heart. Listen, you can't stop loving people because one person hurt you. You can't stop being faithful because one season was unfair. You got to keep serving. You got to keep praying. You got to keep honoring God. Because God does not forget faithful servants. Let me tell you, he's not going to forget you if you're faithful in this season. And finally, after years of serving, the door opens and Joseph is brought before Pharaoh. And see, this is where the palace could change Joseph. But this showed that Joseph still had a heart of a servant and what was inside of him was still alive. My last point is a true servant gives God the glory when promotion comes. Amen. See, Genesis 41 begins with Pharaoh having troubling dreams. The magicians can't interpret them. The wise men can't interpret them. Nobody has the answer. Then the cupbearer says, oh, man, I know a guy. I know a guy that's been faithful, Lord. That's been faithful. And guess what? In your season, somebody's going to look at you with your faithfulness. And they're gonna say, oh, I know a guy. I know a girl. I know someone. Through your faithfulness. And Joseph is quickly brought out of prison. He shaves. He changes clothes. And suddenly the man who had been serving in a prison is standing before the most powerful man of the most powerful nation. All right, let's read 41, 14 through 16. It says, then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him quickly out of the dungeon. And he shaved, changed his clothing, and came to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I've had a dream, and there's no one who can interpret it, but I've heard it said that you can understand a dream to interpret it. So Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it's not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. This is the moment Joseph has been waiting for. This is the moment where bitterness could rise up. Finally, finally somebody sees what I can do. You ever felt like that? But Pharaoh says, I've heard it said that you can understand a dream to interpret it. What does Joseph say? It's not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. That is the heart of a servant. Joseph's finally getting his opportunity, and he gets before Pharaoh, and he finally gets a chance to be noticed. He says, it's not in me. It's not in me. Joseph doesn't take the glory. He doesn't take the moment to capture and build his name up. He points to God. Amen. See, that's what a servant does. A true servant understands that every gift has come from God. Every open door has come from God. Every resource has come from God. And when promotion comes, the servant doesn't say, look at what I did. The servant says, look at what God has done. Let me tell you, you can't do nothing in your power. Nothing good inside you is there besides God. It's only through the Lord. Joseph didn't want Pharaoh's glory. Stop looking for people's glory. You don't need it. Let me tell you, it's going to come and it's going to go. If you let the applause build you up, the silence is going to break you. Stop looking for people's approval and start knowing who you are in the Lord. You got to know your identity. You got to know you are a son and daughter of the Most High. You got to know there's an inheritance for you. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost. Joseph didn't need to make a name for himself. He was just willing to be used. And after Joseph interprets Pharaoh's dream, he gives him wise counsel. Let's look what it says at verse 25, and then we're going to go 33 to 36. It says, then Joseph said to Pharaoh, the dreams of Pharaoh are one. God has shown Pharaoh what he's about to do. Let's go to 33. I know I'm skipping, but if you don't know the story, go back and read it. It's great. Now, therefore, let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this and let him appoint officers over the land to collect 1/5 of the produce of the land of Egypt in the 7 plentiful years. And let them gather all the food of those good years that are coming to store up grain under the authority of Pharaoh, and let him keep the food in the cities. Then that food shall be a reserve for the land for the 7 years of famine which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land may not perish during the famine. Listen, Joseph didn't just bring a revelation. Let me tell you something for those who can interpret things. You can't just bring a revelation. You got to bring wisdom with it, amen? You got to help people get through it. So understand that there's a responsibility with that. You can't just interpret. You got to understand the wisdom and the actionable steps that got to be taken. See, he didn't only tell Pharaoh what the dream meant. He gave him a plan how to steward what God had revealed. See, and then Pharaoh recognized something, that the Spirit of God is with Joseph. If you don't, let me tell you something. People are watching you. And people can see the Spirit of God inside of you. Now let's go to 37 through 41. We're almost out of here. So the advice was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God? Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, inasmuch as God has shown you in all this, there is no one as discerning and as wise as you. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. Listen, Joseph is elevated. He's placed in second command over Egypt. This is like the most powerful position. Amen. The prison doors open. The palace doors open. The dream begins to unfold. See, Joseph was given this dream. But here's what I want you to see. The palace didn't create what was in Joseph's heart. The palace didn't create it. The palace revealed it. What God had been forming all along. You have to understand what where you get to is going to reveal what's inside of you. So that's why you cannot despise what's in front of you, because this is where God is forming you. Joseph didn't stop being a servant when he got authority. He became a servant who had authority. Amen. That's the difference. See, some people want authority because they want people to serve them. But kingdom authority is given so you can serve people better. See, Joseph had power, but he used it to preserve life. He had an influence, but he used it to feed nations. He had access, but he used it to rescue. And Joseph had every right and every reason to become proud, harsh, and angry, and vindictive. But later, when his brothers came before him, Joseph didn't use his position to destroy him. He used his position to preserve them. That is the heart of a servant. See, the goal is not simply to get to the palace. The goal is to carry the heart of God when you get there. Amen? Listen, Jesus said this, he who is greatest among you shall be your servant. The world sees greatness, but Jesus says greatness is serving. Amen? Praise God. Let's stand to our feet. Listen, over these next couple weeks, get my worship team, please. Over these next couple weeks, we're going to be going through servanthood, the state of being a servant. And I really want you to take this seriously. You have an opportunity in this house to serve. And I promise you, when you start serving, you will start growing. And if you get to a place and you don't like it, just try something else. Try something new. And keep going. Just keep serving. Keep going. Keep coming back. Keep trying until you find your place. And I promise you that one day God will reveal what is in you. And you'll go, man, I didn't even know that was in me. Hallelujah. Let me get my altar team up here too, please. Come on in here, kids. Come on. Hallelujah. Listen, if you don't know what it's like to be a servant, or you need just some prayer or some ministry, we have our team up here. We'd love to pray for you, for God to reveal things unto you and reveal your purpose. Reveal, help reveal his plan that he has for you. Amen. Praise God.